Let's try this again and again. It's the news, again, according to me. Oh, it is Tuesday morning, June 13th at 6:39 a.m. 6:39, earlier than I started yesterday. Let's see what happens, if you'll even ever hear this recording at all. Yesterday, there was about four shows that were like 10 minutes long that you never heard. They were awesome. They were the best shows ever, but you didn't get to hear them. In fact, by the time I got the show done, there was no cup left anymore. That was, in fact, the cup, you probably didn't even hear about the fact that I spilled my cup over, my cup of chai got spilled all over the place yesterday morning. All over my keyboard, all over my desk. It was quite a day. We'll see what happens today. I'm back here at the home studio. We're going to give this a shot, see what happens. Not a shot as in like a vaccine type thing, but it's just going to give it a try. Give it the old try. T-R-Y. So, in my cup again, which is being carefully placed far away from me as I set it down, and I won't be able to... spill it, hopefully, again, because I'm not doing something stupid with it. I've got chai, of course, with the Cinnabon creamer in it, and of course I've got a sweet tea backup. But I also have a little bit of something else in there. It's a little bit, just a little bit of apple cider, which is kind of, it's kind of good. Sweet tea and apple cider. It's actually, you know, you see people drinking this, they call it an Arnold Palmer, half lemonade, half tea. This is kind of like that, only it's called a Kevener. Yeah, it's Kevin's drink. I'm going to make it famous. We have a big show for you today. Later on in the show, at the end, near the end, we'll be talking about discipline. What is discipline? And specifically, we're going to talk about self-discipline, why it's important and what it's all about, how it works, the difference between self-discipline and other things, which I think I'm going to do. I think I might, we'll see how it, I'm not sure how well my keyboard's going to work here today, because... Discipline meaning. Let's just pull that up just so it's there. The interestingly enough, there's a lot of things going on. This whole MSNBC is just tripping over themselves with this whole Trump indictment thing. Now, you know, they've got some interesting commentators that are. Interesting. Bill Barr is jumping in all over the place, being interviewed. Does anybody step back and ask the question, why is Bill Barr out there talking about this? He's making the case for why Trump is, you know, he broke all these rules. And he was reckless. And he did all these things that he was reckless with this information. There's the hypocrisy here is just unbelievable. And I talked about this yesterday on yesterday's show. But it's just fascinating to me that he makes no comment about our current sitting president. Donald Trump is a guy who is not in office right now. He could be again, but obviously he doesn't want him to be again. It becomes very obvious where some of these people are when you start looking at Neil Cavuto, for instance. I don't think I talked about him yesterday. Neil Cavuto keeps having these people on, and once in a while he gets somebody on who kind of supports Trump and kind of likes the idea of Trump coming back and be a, you know, isn't speaking negatively about Trump or positively about somebody else. And Neil will dance around all over the place, tiptoe around this, trying to get this person swayed in their opinion, trying to change, you know, trying to make all the points on the other side for why we have to stay away from Trump. Now, and the more people do that, the more people do that, the more I see that there's this institutionalized, you know, the whole establishment that's out there and the influence that they have and the way they push themselves and their agenda and their narratives. It starts to help define the lines between those with the certain ideology, with certain motivations and things in their pocket, people in their pocket, I should say, or they're in the pocket of someone else, actually, is what the way it really should be. And it becomes evident, quite evident, that the agenda that they have is, it's not so much that I'm this big Trump guy. I don't have Trump flags in my yard. I don't have, you know, I don't have the Trump hat. I don't have all that stuff. But I think the phenomena, the you know, what this guy defines or what this guy represents is important to understand. I don't even think half of his supporters, you know, the other half is not deplorables, as Hillary would say.
Hey, you could put half of his supporters in a basket of deplorables. Homophobic, misogynist, racist.
Yeah, 35 million people. So, and you know, she's trying to win over voters, and she says something like that. But she's going to be the great unifier. You know, how'd that work out for you, Hillary? It rhymes with unifier.
No one is above the law. Except for me.
So, but the line being defined, I think that's what Trump kind of does. Now, there's people who are, there's a really good documentary. I wasn't going to even talk about this, but it's called The Great Awakening. It just came out on June 3rd. Just 10 days ago. And I have to say, I wasn't sure what it was going to be about when I'm really glad I clicked on it. It's like an hour and 35 minutes long or something. It's a little bit of a long thing. Is it G. Edward Griffin? Is that what the guy's name was who talked a lot of? He was the guy who wrote the book Creature from Jekyll Island. Let's see if I can find him here. Creature from Jekyll Island. I think it's G. Edward Griffin, I think is his name. G. Edward Griffin. I believe he recently just passed away. Maybe he's still alive. Let me just check here and see if he's still alive. He may have passed away. That book is worth the read. I know it's on audiobook, and I think it's quite long. It's a very simple book. It's not all that long, but it's longer than you might think. But he talks about the whole thing about money. And there is a, you know, the money system and the central banking system and how it came about. I think it was 1912, put in place by 1913, I think. And the money system has never been the same. Since that has happened, that was when we basically lost sovereignty as a nation, in my opinion, or as individuals. Now, I used to make this comment all the time. I had this thing where I would put it at the bottom of all my emails, and it was what it said was, this is just a quote that I made up. I don't know that anybody else has ever said this. This is just something I said. I have no intention of plagiarizing it. I don't know if anybody has ever said it or not before, but it's something I have said. But actually, I should look it up because I don't think I've ever heard it anywhere else. I think I came up with it on my own. That's one of those things where you kind of have to wonder. A truly sovereign that's not right there's got to be an I in there sovereign there we go nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign people, individuals, actually. Individuals. There we go. See if anybody else has ever said it. What is sovereignty? Why does sovereignty matter to America? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's nobody. Nobody's ever said it before. Not at least not like that. There's nobody that's been quoted as saying that. So there's no famous quote that I was just somehow it was in the back of my head and I heard this and was repeating it. So that's a statement I used to put on the end of all my emails. I used to get a lot of questions about that. A truly sovereign nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign individuals. Now you can have a sovereign nation with regard to the world and how the world, you know, all that, you know. Italy is sovereign. It's with its borders, whatever, you know, or Australia is sovereign within its borders. It's an island, so it's kind of easy to do. But there is sovereignty. Now, some people in the religious world think of sovereign as the Lord, that God is sovereign. Well, there's no sovereign. Only God is sovereign. No, that's not. God is sovereign. But they don't understand the meaning of that. I mean, God is holy, but he tells us to be holy. What does that mean? We can't be holy as he is holy, but we can be holy as he is holy. It's different. If you think you've had a glimpse of holiness, you haven't even really seen holiness until you see God. Let me just put it that way. There's going to be a great awakening for you if you think that you're somehow attaining some kind of holiness that's equal to the Creator. Welcome to reality. Welcome to a great wake-up call when you see Him. So that's... and you understand what holy is. Holy means other, separate, different, outside of our realm of understanding. Holy. Other. Unattainable. So to speak. And sovereignty is basically, sovereignty means the right to rule. If you want to look up the definition of sovereignty, it's of course, that's some of the, let's just see what it says here. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. Is that right? Sovereignty definition, there we go, there it is. Supremacy or authority or rule as exercised by a sovereign or sovereign state. A sovereign or sovereign state. You can be a sovereign, or a state can be sovereign. Royal rank, authority, or power. Complete independence and self-government. Those are all good. Actually, those are all pretty good. It's from Wordnik. I'm kind of surprised. Nobody's messed with it yet. Really just means the right to rule within your boundaries. Now, there's this movement going on right now within certain cultures where they're calling themselves queens. It's women that are calling themselves queens. I'm a queen. I'm a queen. Now, I recently saw a video that this one lady was having a fit on an airplane. They were trying to board. This lady was telling everybody she was a queen. Get out of my way. I'm a queen. Where she was kind of getting in this guy's face, and she kept saying, I'm a queen. I'm a queen. You're not going to mess with me. I'm a queen. You know, stand down with your, you know, privilege stuff. I'm a queen. My first reaction, and I'm getting old enough now. I don't look that old, I guess, but I am old enough to look at that person and say, well, you can be a queen if you want to, but you're not my queen. So settle down in your little world there. You're intruding on my world. You want to come into my home, my space, and tell me that you're the queen, the queen. No, you're not the queen. You can be a queen all you want to in your little world. But guess what, queen? You can get off my property if you want to start bringing your sovereignty over my property and my space and my life. Because I have but one that I give authority in my life to. But I have the authority, the right, the sovereignty to give that right to rule over to someone else. Only I have that ability. I am the one who chooses to do that. I'm not forced to do it. I'm not compelled to do it. Not even the one who I give that sovereignty to has compelled me to do it or has forced me to do it. I am doing it willingly. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth anything. This documentary, the Great Awakening, is, I started watching the first part of it and I thought, oh boy, here we go. Starts talking about Bernie Sanders, and he was in the Bernie movement. A lot of disenfranchised Bernie supporters have really, they've powerfully turned away from a lot of stuff. And they started recognizing and noticing socialism and communism. It boils down to, and this is, I've always said this, and I didn't realize that Griffin had actually said this. It boils down to there's not really the difference between communism, socialism, Marxism, Leninism, Stalinism, whatever you want to call it, Maoism. The whole thing is the difference between collectivism and individualism. And of course, the left or the socialist would say, oh, you're just all you independent socialists or independent individualists who think you're just going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, rugged individualism, just all about your selfishness. They think it's selfish. You don't want to be a part of the group. No, it's actually the other way around. Individualism gives you the freedom to make associations with the people you choose to associate with. You can make agreements. You can make contracts. You can become groups on your own. You voluntarily become a group. You associate with other people and you establish common ground and common agreements, common philosophy or ideology. And you put those things together. That's how that works. It's really that simple. The state, when it imposes this collectivism, doesn't give you an opportunity. Doesn't give, it's voluntary. Like income taxes are voluntary. Well, you pull up to a stop sign, it's voluntary to stop. But if you don't stop, you can get a ticket for it. So yeah, voluntary compliance, but it's compulsory really because you're voluntarily complying. In other words, they don't come to your house and take the taxes. You're filling it out on your own, sending it in, or doing it yourself and sending it in. Voluntary compliance, you're still complying to a rule. If you don't comply, they will come to your house and take it away. Trust me on that. Don't ask me how I know. there was a time in my life when I tried to get away with the idea of there's this guy going around, and he was correct. It actually worked. His system actually worked. The problem was the government makes it so terribly difficult to do this. It was unrealistic. You can get away with not paying income tax without it being taken from your check. You realize you, as the individual, you have the ability to tell your employer, I want no federal income tax taken from my check. In fact, they won't take anything other than Social Security. And so they will take Social Security, but you can actually request that no taxes be taken out of your check. Now, you have to go through a process of filing exemptions because the entire income tax system. Now, you can't get away with this if you manufacture, distribute, or sell. There's four different things. If you do any, have anything to do with alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and there's some book taxes on books that actually you have to pay according to the Constitution and according to the actual statute. All income tax falls under the statute of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. If you do not manufacture, distribute, store, warehouse, any of those things, then you are not subject to income tax according to the constitutional law, according to the statute. But that's everything falls under that. That's the statute that they're using. And actually, if you trace it back, that's the actual statute. Now, what you do is you have to go in to the IRS office every year and file for the exemption based on that there is no statute for you to pay income tax. However, it will catch up with you if you do not do it correctly. They will watch you like a hawk. They will probably audit you every year, even though they say they can't. They will. And the process of doing all that, I got away with it for several years. I didn't pay income tax for, 4 years, something like that. I think it was 4 years. Now, that does not work real well. After a while, they because what happens is they come back and they want to change things, and they're always coming out. They're making it tougher and tougher to do it. I don't even know if it's even possible anymore. This was 20-some years ago, 25 years ago I was doing this. And it worked. And the problem with this, the guy who was doing this, the guy who put this all together, and he was actually a former police officer. He understood the law very well. Actually had a degree, I think, in... wasn't a major law degree, but he actually had studied law quite a bit in college. Put all this stuff together. Well, the problem with it was he went off with the deep end. Actually, I think Denzel Washington actually got involved with this guy. Was it Denzel? I think it was Denzel. Somebody. One of those actors. Anyway, he got involved with him, and he actually got in this thing where he was somehow flighting checks or doing something with checking and banking, because he discovered this little loophole in the law, and he was doing something with checks. And I think he was opening accounts and doing stuff with checks, because the banking system and the whole checking industry and the checking system, the laws that govern banking and checking, he found a loophole there somehow, and he was doing this stuff with checks. And he ended up going to jail for that, because he screwed something up. I can't remember what it was he did, but he messed up something. And, of course, that was all it took. Next thing you know, he's in jail. So it kind of backfired on him. And then Denzel Washington, I think, once he was in jail and the whole thing kind of fell apart, everybody who was kind of following this guy kind of, this happened, but I think in the late 2010, maybe 2009, 2008, 2010, somewhere around there, this all started happening. And it all kind of fell apart for everybody who's involved. The problem with it was that once Denzel got into it, a lot of people in Hollywood started following suit. He was spreading the word and telling everybody about this stuff. And that's when it all kind of went downhill, because they really came after him. They saw this thing was starting to spread like wildfire, and they just came after him like crazy. Got him for anything they could. Didn't get him for the things that they were doing. Got him for other things. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime, kind of thing. This idea of being sovereign has been lost. And this documentary doesn't talk about it too much, but it does talk about the difference between collectivism and individualism, and how collectivism has taken over and what they've done. Of course, now they do relate a lot of what happened with the pandemic and everything that's happening worldwide with the Great Reset and the Build Back Better slogan and all that kind of stuff. He goes through a lot of that. It's a very well done documentary with regard to education. Now, he documents a few things. But he equates a lot of it to what happened during the pandemic with the virus and the shots, mostly with the vaccine. Things that people were saying during that time, and it's the mass formation psychosis, the mass formation thing, which absolutely happens, and you don't realize it's happening. And this is where self-awareness kind of kicks in. People have very little self-awareness, I'm finding. Now, it's very difficult to understand that. It's a journey that I would caution you on. It's good to have self-awareness. It's also very, but step into that very cautiously. I mean, do it. Don't get me wrong. Figure out who you are. You know, understand, be honest with who you are. That's the biggest thing you can be. Not who you want to be, not who you think you are. That's the biggest problem with a lot of these self-evaluation. Well, what are my gifts and talents and who am I? You know, you take all these self-evaluation things. Well, you may have a perception of yourself that is not really true. And you start filling out these questionnaires. Well, this is the way you would like to be, or the way you would like to think who you are. But this is not who you are. This is who you want to be. This is who you think you are. Just may not be, you know, you may not be honest with yourself. Sorry, I had to sneeze there. And without being honest with yourself, you will not be able to fill out these self-evaluation things very well. Well, look at me. I'm a person who does all these things. And I see this on Facebook once in a while. Somebody will post, they'll take a survey online, answer all these questions, and then it posts automatically on their Facebook page. This is Bobby Joe, and Bobby Joe, I don't know anybody by the name Bobby Joe. Hope this is so-and-so, and I'm a such-and-such, and this and that, and this and this, you know, so-and-so, blah, 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 or this, whatever. He just took this survey, or they just took this survey, and they found out who they are. Take the survey now. Click on this. So we can make some money, advertising money. So it's one of those things where I look at it and I read that and I think, well, that's the person I think you want to be, but that's not the person you are. Now, it's kind of like a person looking in a mirror. I've seen this happen a lot. It's when you look in a mirror, you basically only see yourself face on, you know, frontal face, unless you can hold a mirror around and you're looking around yourself. And, you know, I don't realize how bald I am sometimes and how much gray hair I have around the back of my head. Or a lack of hair, and the amount that is there is gray. I don't realize it until I either see myself on a video in a picture, and or I hold a mirror up, you know, so I'm looking in a bigger mirror behind me, and I can see behind myself. It's like, I'm an old man. That's what people see most of the time. That's what people see when you're around people. They don't see you face on. You know, the person you're talking to might see you face on, but even then they might not, you know, 80% of the time they're going to see you, there's not going to be a face on. And I see this a lot with, dare I even bring this up? I see this a lot with women. Because of they put their makeup on, they're looking straight directly at the mirror. They can get themselves looking pretty good straight on. If you look at them straight in the face, they don't realize their profile. Because they don't put makeup on looking sideways at themselves. They don't do their hairstyle looking sideways at themselves. Now, their hairstylist can see that all the way around. They cannot see that themselves very well. There's this thing, I don't know what it's called. I don't think it's called a bob. It's something different than that. It's where these women are like on the sides of their hair, that's for face on, for, you know, frontal view of their face. They have hair down, their bangs kind of come down or whatever, and then they have this hair on the side. As they're looking into the mirror, it looks like they have long hair. It looks like they have a bob. But around the back, it is shaved up at an angle and around, goes up and around almost to the point where it is like collar length. in the back, and it comes back down again around the sides again. I don't think they realize what that looks like from behind. Now, maybe they see other women with it, and they think it looks okay, but that's weird. I saw this fad kind of starting to happen, and it was kind of this fashion thing that was starting to happen. So what is that? And the word that came to me is it's self-deception. What you see in the mirror is not what you're actually looking like. Because when that person looks at themselves, they look at their reflection. They see hair. You see normal trimmed hair. But around the back, where most people see them, most of the time, their hair is shaved off. You may think it looks good. I think it looks silly. That's just my opinion, and I'm going to say it. I think it looks silly. But that's, you know, whatever. Whatever works for you. You do you. That's the way you say it. You do you, kind of thing. Anyway, the recording seems to be working at this point. I'm going to mess myself up here by saying that. I'm 31 minutes in, the recording has not had a problem. So that's a good sign. So we have at least a 31-minute show so far, 31 and a half minutes. No. I do want to get into a little bit of this. And I'm not talking much about politics and news reporting today. I'm talking more about life stuff, but it's just where it's gone. Never know where this show's going to go. I don't have any notes. I mean, sometimes I do, but it's more or less just to kind of keep me somewhat on track. I saw this, speaking of news stuff, yesterday morning. I don't know if I talked about this at all or not. Trey Gowdy has a show on Fox. I lost a lot of respect for Trey. Trey had this interview with Kevin McCarthy. I don't know if this got on the show yesterday because there was so much recorded yesterday that I don't know what got on and what didn't. I'm not going to go back and listen to the show. So that's for you to do. But Trey Gowdy had this interview with Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin McCarthy, they were talking about these nine, whatever they were, Republicans who voted with the Democrats. I think I know I talked about this, but I'm not sure if it got recorded. And so Trey had Kevin McCarthy on to ask why these Democrats, why the Republicans voted with the Democrats to keep this bill from going through. And of course, I was reading through the comments, and all the comments were like, well, maybe they had a good reason. And these were all the people like MTG and all these people, all these rap artists, all the people who were kind of pushing back on McCarthy when he was trying to get the speakership. They were the ones who were voting no on McCarthy, voting for other people. And they're the ones who sided with the Democrats on this thing to try to keep the bill from going through. Well, they were like, well, we got to stay together. We got to, you know, no, we have to stay in line with what's best for the American people. And of course, Trey and McCarthy, he asked McCarthy right off the bat, flat out, why do these people do this? I have no idea. I don't know. They haven't told me. I don't have a list of demands. They haven't presented anything. You need to know your constituents here. You need to know who your associates are here and find out what's going on. It's your job to find out as a speaker. Your job to go out and try to get the votes for the bills you want to pass. You know, put this thing to the floor. You need to know, you know, going in. And then after the fact, you still don't know. And here's an idea, Trey. Why don't you bring on one of them and ask them the question instead of bringing on McCarthy and asking him to explain what somebody else did? This is where you're talking about them and not to them. You need to talk to them, not about them. This happens so often in our society. We talk about people and we don't talk to them. Now, in some cases, you can't. In my case, I can't just go up and talk. I can just assume, I can try to surmise what's going on in Kevin McCarthy's head because I can't talk to him. I can send him an email. I'm not going to get a response. I've sent my local senators and congressmen emails before, and I get, you know, basically no response or a token automated response. Thank you for your input. Please donate to our campaign. I just lambasted you and told you I'm never going to vote for you again. And you came back with that statement. Thanks for, why don't you donate? Oh, yeah, I'm not going to vote for you. I don't donate to your campaign. Oh, that's great, that's great. Thanks for asking. So this brings us down to the idea of collectivism and sovereignty and individualism. Individualism, I was getting on the kind of trying to go down this little path here about individualism. It is perceived by the left, and the way they will vilify it is to say that, well, you're selfish. No, it's not at all selfish. This idea that somehow we're going to let government take care of us. Whether this documentary just, it lays it out so clearly because it puts the timeline in such perspective. You've got Jim Carrey, who I guess was from Canada. I guess he was born in Canada. He was a child in Canada. Of course, then he came to the United States, where he made his fortune. Because, you know, he couldn't do it in Canada, apparently. So he's touting how great the healthcare system was there. He's going on and on about, I think he was on Colbert or somebody, I don't know what he was on. He's going on this whole thing. He's talking about how great Canada was in the healthcare system and all the stuff that they had there. And interestingly enough, right after he's saying this stuff, and he gets done, kind of they're kind of showing him with these clips of him saying these things. They go right from there. They edit right into how Canada cracked down on their people during the protests during COVID. Isn't it interesting how some protests were allowed and actually encouraged, and they were uplifted, and this is great. And then other protests were vilified, and you were put in prison. You had your money taken away from you. You had no financial support. They were cracking down on you. Oh, the connections that were drawn from this to the CCP and Communist China and everything else. It's very well done. The statements that were made by Trudeau and other ministers up there, they call them, their leaders, ministers, because they're administrators. And it was interesting, some of the words that they said and some of the things that they said and the way that they said it. The threats that were made to the unvaccinated and how the things that Hollywood was saying, the Hollywood people were saying about vaccinations and the way that the propaganda that was out there. Now, whether you're vaccinated or not, that's your choice. For whatever reason, if you got vaccinated, that's fine. The problem is, it needs to be a choice, not a mandate. I, for no other reason, I didn't get the vaccine. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But for no other reason, I will not disclose my vaccination status. I went into a couple places where it was a facility where I had, you were checked at the door, you took your temperature and all this stuff, and they wrote your name down. And I said, they would ask, are you vaccinated? And I said, do I have to disclose that information? They were, no, you don't. Okay, then. They basically just gave me a mask and told me to walk in. I'll wear a mask if I'm on someone else's property, and they ask me to wear a mask. If I want to live under their roof at that time, I'll abide by their rules. But on public property or in any place else that I'm walking around, especially outside, I refuse to wear a mask. And people were militant about that, about the whole mask thing. Now, masks have unequivocally been debunked with regard to their effectiveness. Absolutely debunked. Every study that has been done, and there were a lot of studies done during the whole COVID time. Of course, they couldn't talk about them until about the last 6 months, and a lot of them have been brought up and brought out. Very good, comprehensive studies on this whole mask thing. Different countries, different societies, cultures, everything else that was out there. all the numbers are in, and the evaluation, the synthesis of all this information, all the numbers, is that it made no significant difference whatsoever. And yet I still see people wearing masks today as I'm traveling. Now, this has always been the case. There's always been people, usually Asians, which also should be a clue. A lot of bird flu and stuff in Asia seems to be the case. A lot of these folks are wearing these masks, and you want to have to wonder, well, if you're still having all these problems over there, are the masks not stopping it? I mean, there were people walking into stores without a mask on, and they were being booted out physically by the stores, by other people, other patrons of the store were treating them like they were outcasts from society. Get out of here. You're not wearing a mask. Dumping water on them, doing all kinds of crazy things, being violent, assaulting people who weren't wearing masks. Who's the dangerous one now? People getting into fist fights with people who weren't wearing masks. In some cases, they'd pull their mask down so that they could yell at the person. He's not wearing a mask. Well, you're not either right now, and you're yelling like crazy all over everybody. Spitting everywhere. How does this work? And there's a really good, is it Pierce? What's the guy's name? They're really good. Look up Life Jacket. I think it's on YouTube. This guy that does this thing on life jackets, how he's wearing a life jacket. It's perfect because they can't get him on any kind of COVID stuff, but he talks about wearing you have to wear your life jacket or my life jacket isn't any good. Well, but you're wearing a life jacket. Shouldn't you be safe? No, because you have to wear your life jacket or my life jacket won't work. It's the whole thing with a mask. You have to wear a mask or my mask doesn't do anything. Well, you're wearing a mask. You should be protecting, you should be protected then if you're wearing a mask, right? If it's that effective. Well, no, but you have to wear your mask. It is so hilarious. But it shows, it's genius. It's because he's able to say this whole thing without saying anything about COVID. Nothing at all about COVID. Let's see if I can put this on here and find it for you. Life jacket. Where is the guy? Parody, life jacket parody. It's probably it. There it is. Yeah. Why life jacket? Awaken with JP. That's the guy. That's what it is. Why life jackets should be mandatory. Why you need a second life jacket. I haven't seen that one yet. Wear two life jackets. Why do you need to wear a second life jacket and subscribe? Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that's just. Where did all the trust science people go? Bombshell, safety data released on life jackets. Yeah, this guy is just awesome. Period. And this guy used to be a radical left-wing guy, more of a left-wing guy. He's definitely become much more. More interesting. He's a. It's funny stuff. So as we go on here, we're still recording, thankfully. This is the last part of the segment. I want to talk about a little bit about discipline and self-discipline. Discipline itself. So the definition of discipline, training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior, especially training that produces moral or mental improvement. Control obtained by enforcing compliance or order. Controlled behavior resulting from disciplinary training. Self-control. Now, there's a little side note here. Discipline refers to the rule-following behavior, regulation, order, control, and authority. It may also refer to punishment. Discipline is used by those in authority to encourage habits, routines, and automatic mechanisms, such as blind obedience. It may be inflicted on others or oneself. Now, discipline, if you are, you know, raising a child, or if you have people that are in, under your purview, under your supervision, under your authority, you will find that getting them to comply with the rules and the way we're going to do things may require discipline. If they don't comply, then they are disciplined by either some kind of punishment or having some of their rewards taken away. They're not given a reward, so to speak. So then maybe you don't give them a break. Or maybe you make them do push-ups or whatever it is. In the world of martial arts, I learned this important thing. You start to get into it as you become a white belt. Everybody starts off as a white belt. You're a student. And you learn some things, and you kind of get some things under your, done, and you kind of learn some basics, and then you become a yellow belt. And there's a little second step in the yellow belt. This depends on the association that you're part of. There's a second step in the yellow belt thing. You become this, you have this little red stripe on your yellow belt, which means now you can do sparring, because you can control your contact. So you do this kind of stuff. And then you work away. And then the association I was in, there was yellow belt, green belt, blue belt, brown belt, and black belt. There was two stages of green belt, two stages of blue belt, and brown belt. And there was a third stage of brown belt, which was a pre-black belt stage. It was called the first gup. And then you had the first gup, and then there was actually a stage between. So you had the second gup and first gup, and then the first gup went then from first gup to, you had a whole bunch of stripes on your belt, and it was something to do with that you had gone through your preliminary black belt orientation training, whatever you're, then you became a black belt. You go through your review board, which was pretty tough, actually. It's a full day of mental gymnastics as well as all your physical stuff. And then you become a black belt, and you have a formal public testing where it's kind of this opportunity to show off who you are, what you can do. Pretty amazing. Now, the process of all of this, now, the thing that I learned very quickly, as soon as I got my black belt, I started my own karate studio. I didn't just sit around and train. I went off and started my own business. Because that's just what I do. And so I went off and started my own business. Well, I learned very quickly that, especially in teaching other students, that they would not be able to train on their own. There's something about being in a classroom with other people watching you and an instructor telling you what to do and being under their supervision and having them make you do push-ups if you do something wrong. That brings about this certain amount of discipline in your life. And people think, well, I'm well disciplined. Well, you're living under someone else's imposed discipline. There is a huge difference between someone else disciplining you and being able to self-discipline, to self-govern, to motivate yourself, to be self-motivated. There's a huge difference in that. You make choices. And basically what it boils down to is the only thing you have to spend is time. And that time, how it's spent, makes all the difference. I remember a story that I heard about this. Actually, this was a guy doing a speech, telling a story. It was kind of at a martial arts seminar, actually. And it had nothing to do with martial arts. The guy gets up and he tells a story about this guy, these people who are watching this piano recital or this piano person playing a piano, and they get done playing the piano, it was just incredible, incredible piano player. And they get done, this person says, and they just kind of comment out loud, they say, "I would give anything to be able to play piano like that." The person standing next to them says, "No, you wouldn't." And I said, what do you mean? Of course I would. I would give anything. I would give anything to play like that. Person then went into a very long explanation of why they wouldn't, because they're not. You wouldn't give him anything to play like that, because to play like that requires sacrifice, discipline, hard work. They didn't just stand up there one day and decide to play the piano and that's the way they could play, because they wanted to so badly or because something was in doubt upon them. Now, some people have an inclination to it more than others, or certain physical skills or mental abilities, whatever it is. But you can play piano if you have the discipline, the motivation to do it. But you have to, what are you going to give up to get there? Are you going to sit behind a piano, or are you going to sit watching your television? Are you going to sit on TikTok? What are you going to be spending your time doing? You have to make time to practice, and practice with intensity and purpose and resolve. Otherwise, you'll never be able to play like that. That's the price that you have to pay. It's not about money. You can pay a coach, and that coach can discipline you. But what happens when the coach is not there anymore? This is what I experienced when I had my karate studio. I no longer had someone imposing their discipline over me. Now, I was still part of the association. I still had people who oversaw what I was doing, but they weren't there to watch me every day. I had to train. I had to discipline myself. I had to get 5 more push-ups. It's very easy when you're in the gym to do your exercises or to do whatever you're doing and feel like, okay, I've done 5 reps, that's enough. You get a trainer working with you. They'll get 2 or 3 more reps out of you, even though you don't think you can get any more out of you. You're done. And they're just like, "Give me one more. Okay, just one more. Just one more." They just keep saying one more. It's like, "You said one more 3 times ago." And you start getting mad at them. Then you start taking it out on them. It's like, then you start with your weights. It's like, you just start, "I'm going to show him I can do this one more time." Getting so mad at you. And next thing you know, you've worked out a lot harder than you would have by yourself. So you got somebody there to motivate you. Why can't you motivate yourself that way? What is it about our psyche that does that? Well, the truth is, you can, if you will. But that's what it requires. It requires the will and the self-motivation. But that also comes through understanding who you are, which gets back to self-awareness. Now, this is not selfishness. It's not self-absorption. It is just self-awareness. If you go down the road of, I was talking about this earlier, if you go down the road of self-awareness too far, without having a good, solid understanding of who God is and the redemptive plan he has for you, because I guarantee you, if you're honest with yourself and you start going down the road of self-awareness, you're going to discover just about how creepy and gross you are with regard to selfishness and the capability you have for sin. And you understand what sin is and disobedience and how unholy you are. Because it really gets, and what it boils down to is we are selfish creatures. And when you start to really unpack that and be honest with yourself, it can be very depressing. It can look very hopeless. And yet there is hope. And that's where the journey can continue going down if you understand the hope that we have and what was done on the cross. Because the way you're seeing yourself and what you're actually seeing there is not how God sees you. He sees you through a lens that is crimson stained. It's a very different view of who you are. Because now you have a new name. A new identity. And it becomes very clear why he died on the cross for you. When you understand who you are. It's not because you deserved it. You didn't do it because you deserved it. You did it because he's rescuing you, because he loves you. He's rescuing you from yourself. Not something that someone else did to you. Rescuing you from yourself. And the bad choices you make every day. The unholy choices you make every day. So there you go. There you go, folks. That's the wonderful world in which we live. I would encourage you, if you have the guts to, and I have not seen the whole thing yet. I'm down to like the last 20 minutes of this documentary, The Great Awakening. I would encourage you to watch it. I'm so tempted to post it on social media. However, there are some people in my family that I'd rather watch it with them. This is where it gets. I don't mind showing it to them. I want to watch it with them because I want to have a discussion with them after they see it, because I know where they're going to go with it. And I hate posting something like that just out of the blue without any kind of interaction with them in terms of understanding, because they're just going to think, they're going to get halfway into it, I'm not going to watch this. Or they're going to throw up all kinds of defense, you know, I can see it now. However, this guy does a very, very good job of laying out foundational. I mean, if they have the guts to watch the whole thing, it is incredibly, so far it's been incredibly powerful the way he lays it all out. Because he doesn't come from a right or left perspective. He comes from a collectivist, individualist perspective, which is really where we need to stay when we're educating folks with political issues and social issues. Because it's just one of those things where we're continuing to look to the government to be our provider, to be our God, really. So that's what it becomes. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday about how we're checking off boxes to the Communist Manifesto more and more, and how that relates. Now tomorrow I'll be talking about that a little bit more. I want to talk a little bit more about the communism thing, the Marxist philosophy, the Communist Manifesto. So I'm going to talk about a little bit now. And of course the Maoism, it was all influenced by Stalin, Lenin, and all those communist folks. So that's where we're going to go tomorrow. Here it is. It's 7:42. I have a show that's lasted an hour, and I still have the morning I can do something with, which is kind of nice. So hopefully this will post okay. I was having trouble posting from here the other day, so hopefully that's all settled too. Got all the technical issues worked out. Folks, thanks for listening this morning. Thank you for being with me and listening to my opinions and my stuff on life. Pray for the whole thing with Donald Trump. I'm really concerned about this whole thing because it's just the where they're going with it and what they've done is unprecedented. The way they're ignoring the whole thing with Joe Biden, who actually did commit crimes, who should be impeached, and they just seem to be ignoring it. Amazing. So pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for those in leadership positions, especially in the church. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Take care.